You're listening to Destiny Down Under, a Star Wars Destiny competitive podcast, brought to you by Blake, Clint, Jacob, and guests from Australia and around the world.
Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of Destiny Down Under. We made it to episode 2. Thanks for all your great feedback on our first episode. We're going to look at and analyse the results of the Western Australia, the South Australia, the Queensland Regionals and the New Zealand Nationals. We've also got a special guest today, Dez, who is the Western Australia Regionals winner, and he's going to discuss his path to victory. The team discusses what decks you need to look out for and strategies on how to beat them at any of your upcoming events. And of course, we had a competition on our last episode to win a Maul's lightsaber, so we'll announce the winner at the end of our podcast. So first of all, Blake, Jacob, how are you guys going this week since last podcast?
Yeah, good guys. Good. Everything's been all right. Played in the regionals. Lost to Dez. And then that was the most of my Destiny month. Tested a bit for that. And then... Now back on to testing for Worlds. Jacob, how are you, man?
Yeah, good as well. Can't complain. Just been playing a bit of draft, actually. That's just recently come out in our state, so been wetting my feet into that. But I'll get back onto TTS soon and start grinding some standard again.
Jacob, have you drafted any legacies yet?
I did one draft of legacies. So I've done one of the old blocks and then one of the recent ones.
Yeah, because you and I were at the same store for the black box draft, and I think Legacies is probably a better set to draft.
Yeah, we just were unlucky where we didn't open many upgrades, so it kind of was getting a bit boring seeing all of the same Rivals upgrades in all of our decks. But someone was lucky enough to get an elite Obi-Wan in that draft, so they took one of that out.
Yeah, that sounds really, really nice.
That's Clint's dream, isn't it? Just Obi all formats.
Give me Obi all day, every day.
Yeah.
All right. So as mentioned before, we do have our first guest on our podcast ever, and that is Dez. Dez is our Western Australia Regionals winner. How are you going, Dez?
I'm doing great. I won a Regionals.
Yay!
Yeah, congratulations.
And you beat Blake.
Yes, wasn't even in the cart, actually. I beat him at the end of Swiss.
Wow. Any win against Blake is a bonus.
Dez beats me all the time.
But only in secret, where he can't be found out.
All right, then, we've got a lot to cover and very limited time to do it. So let's jump straight into it. We're going to quickly look at the international results. For the last couple of weeks. Blake, did you want to run us through a couple of those results?
Look, we've got quite a few here. Obviously, I don't want to read off every single top 8 list, but we are starting to see a few decks take multiple wins and multiple top 8s. But I've got to touch on Eric Wainwright. He's just taken out his second regional win with E-Ala double Padawan, probably playing BB-8 as well. Good on that guy, hey?
BB-8 OP, please nerf. so Eric Wainwright, I actually played him in the TTS Season 5 League, and those Padawans can be pretty scary when they get loaded up. So props to him for taking out a second regional, and that was today. I think the results just came through a couple of hours ago for that.
Now, I've got some other interesting stats, I guess. We had an Emperor Palpatine make a top 8. OG Palp, so good on that person. And then we're starting to see a couple of decks really pop up. We've got Seven Sister Boba. That's starting to make a couple of top 8s. That even had a finals finals mirror. So that's taking one now. Yoda Hondo is taking, I think, 3 regionals now. And then Sabine Ezra is something that is still around. That kind of took off in between our last podcast, and it's still going really, really strong. So these are some decks that you definitely have to watch out for now.
And do I dare mention that Obi Mars finally took out a regional as well.
Yes,
yes. There were celebrations in the streets around Rozelle, Sydney.
Yeah, outside Clint's house.
Outside my house. But what was interesting about that Obi Mars deck is it was a shell we had seen before, but not in the Obi Mars deck. So it actually was running a Sabine shell and a very light upgrade toolbox.
Yeah. And it worked. Running interference is really, really annoying. I first touched on that card. I played it in Han Ray a long time ago. And that card just causes people problems. If it's played right, you just gain so much tempo. And occasionally you just get the double pass and then you just blow people out completely.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the recent results, Jacob?
Yeah, well, I was just going to mention for that Obi Mars and the Sabine shell, I'm guessing that's the running interference, the four speed and concentrate. Is that the main combo of it?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I guess Sabine and then Obi are the only ones with threes that you can really pair with an elite character like that. I guess there's the other Obi and Luke, but the strength comes in to being able to flip the natural character dice to their threes, the bigger sides. And then you've got running interference to lock them out from playing removal, or I guess you've got four speed where you can just resolve it instantly. There's just one card that I haven't had too much experience with. One of you guys who, maybe Clint, you're best to answer this, is how does the heightened awareness work in that deck? Because that's the two cost. It's ambush and then give three shields distributed as you wish, I believe.
Yeah, so the heightened awareness comes in the starter, and it was also one of the Legacy's release promos. I thought it might have been a little bit too expensive to run, but when you're running it in this Sabine shell where you've got Mars's Vault and you're running Outer Rim Outpost, you're generally starting most rounds with four resources. You're paying two, you're getting the ambush, and you're also using the ambush for the player card on the RI lock as well.
Ah, yeah, okay. So it's an important way to be able to lock your opponent out from playing removal, I guess.
Yeah, so the player was running Truce, Vibranife, Heightened Awareness. Those were the only ones with ambush keyword on them. So if you're lucky to pull one of those per round, you can quite easily lock your opponent out and either just force speed into the damage, then hyperspace jump out, or something along those lines. There's a lot of lines of play. I've been playing the deck a lot recently. People are probably sick of seeing me playing it, but there are a lot of unique lines of play, and the player who won the Chicago Regionals with it, he did a great job. I think it took a lot of people by surprise. They didn't expect that at all.
On top of it all, Duggan's still a pretty good card. So if you add ambush to that, its defensive capability is probably a lot more than people think about when they're just thinking along the lines of heightened awareness with riposte.
I think it comes into... It's an easy include if you have running interference. We had a guy that made top 8 of our regionals with Zebre, and his strongest card was running interference. Sabine Ezra, like one of their strongest cards, is running interference. So just getting that ambush, you know, would you play heightened awareness by itself? Maybe not. I guess it was good for that one player in our regionals. But I think the strong card of this deck is running interference right now.
Running interference is strong all round. Whether it gets nerfed or not, or they just leave it to rotate out, I don't know. I can see it being made a unique, but they didn't do that with Planetary Uprising, so why would they do it with Running Interference?
So should we just touch base on some of the other regionals results? I think, did you have any of the results from the Australian regionals out here, Clint?
Yep, so we've got a lot to discuss there, so we'll move into that. Let's talk about the South Australia regionals, which happened on the same day as the Western Australia regionals. Des will talk about the Western Australia regionals in a little bit, But the South Australia regionals were very different to the Western Australia regionals. So that was taken out by Broti K, so the elite Seventh Sister, Sienna Night Sister, and that went up against Kylo Towson in second place, and they had a top eight of Zeb Kanan, Ayla Vehicles, Tarkin Sevens, Poe Hondo, Qui-Gon Yoda, and an Obi Mars. Dez, what do you think about that top eight compared to the Western Australia top eight?
Well, it's very different meta. Like, they were had a big focus on the two character lists that we didn't see in ours. So, with the exception of Broti K and Vehicles. The removal for that meta would have had to have been a lot different than how, like, we tweaked our removal for our meta.
Yeah, Jacob, what do you think of the top eight there?
I just love the fact that it was so varied. I mean, I'm loving that about all of the regionals results right now, to be honest, that there's been so many different decks that are just winning. I mean, you're seeing some strong characters appearing in multiple lists, but it's pretty much just rewarding good play overall at the moment, which I really love for this Legacy's meta. I'm not surprised that Broti K won another one, to be honest. It's a very strong deck. I think it does have some weaknesses if you really try and hate it out, but the ability to just do insane early damage and knock off a character, especially an important character, for someone's kind of deck intentions, it can affect the game so much.
Yeah, I have to agree. There's no surprises in that top eight to me. Maybe the Qui-Gon Yoda sneaking in. They're all pretty solid decks that have slowly been tweaked by players all around the world for the last 4 weeks. And any one of them has the potential to win a regional with the right pilot.
Yeah, I think it comes down to preparation and practice and knowing your deck at the end of the day.
Exactly.
I'm sure we'll hear a bit about Dez, like, for his preparation for the regionals, but that can just be so important. I know the amount of practice that I did before my regionals kind of really paid off.
We'll probably hear Dez's win rate against Blake at some stage as well during their practice.
not gonna lie, it's pretty good.
How did you win a nationals again, Blake?
Dez beat me up 20 times in a row and then made me play Kylo Ren.
Oh, well, at least he beat you up the 20 times when it mattered.
Yeah, we got to the end of that session and he's just like, just give me that deck, I'm going to play it.
I guess it should be noted that you were absent at that nationals.
When I was.
So you're saying is Dez would have won the nationals if he was there.
I was just noting his absence, that's all.
Completely unrelated.
We'll let our listeners take what they want from that. Any more comments on the South Australia regionals?
I think Zeb Kanan is an interesting one. It's quietly doing its thing. And I think it's made another regionals top eight. So that's an interesting one. Broti K, I think that deck is actually very good. It does take a lot of work, though. And I think that's the whole meta. Like Jacob touched on it, you just need to do reps. Like, we are so far from a single best deck meta. What you need to do, though, is have reps against all the decks that you can and adjust your gameplay. Because I think your strategy for each matchup changes now. You know, sometimes you need to race. Sometimes you need to, you know, it's that who's the aggro deck, who's the control deck now. I think that's quite relevant in this game.
All right, well, let's move on to the Queensland regionals, which finished this afternoon. The Queensland regionals had a top eight of Kylo Towson, with two pilots piloting that, Sabine Ezra, two Ayla vehicles, a Cad Sienna, which I thought was interesting, an interesting conclusion, a Rey Padawan Yoda, which is probably another interesting inclusion, but the eventual winner was a Poe Hondo. Now, Blake, I know that you were a test partner for one of the players in the top eight. Maybe we'll get your thoughts on that first.
Yeah, I just want to mention a couple of things on that. Firstly, the Rey Padawan Yoda, that guy made the top eight. they split their regionals over 2 days. He couldn't come back today to play in the top eight. So he jumped out, everybody else slid up. And the person that come ninth was playing, I'm pretty sure, like Jabba Newt ninth system, like a Villa Mill deck. But these are the guys that made it on Swiss. The Cad Sienna guy is a guy that I met over at Nats. He messaged me a couple of days before his regionals, asking for some help, sent me his deck list, went through it, and then just went through, you know, different strategies for different matchups, which is where I think the format is right now. And then played some games last night for his top eight match. He was stoked to make top eight. However, he fell short to Hero Vehicles today. So he finished in 7-8.
I actually am a little bit surprised by that. That he fell to Hero Vehicles.
Yeah, so he said he had a bit of a rough time. He thought his matchup was really good, and that's why he played the deck. And then even in testing last night, we split games. And then he had a game today where he just couldn't find any damage. Had a game where he did CAD things. And then the Hero Vehicles pulled it out in the third game by playing three supports on turn one.
Wow.
Yeah, so he just got a massive lead. The Ayla Vehicles players, they've been playing that for a long time, really, really working on it. And then the Poe Hondo winner, like there's another win to Hondo. You know, everyone's like, oh, forget about Hondo. We all know how to play around him. And then he comes and takes the regionals.
Dez, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think Vehicles is a hard one to discount because whenever they get an early rally aid, you're in trouble unless you can find a way to deal with it. And the two-player lists, like Cad Sienna, they just don't have the health pool to take all that indirect damage, especially the non-blue ones where they don't have their access to Force Illusion as well. The big concern with coming up against Vehicles is how do you mitigate your aggregate health, like from slipping below your total, because they don't care about hitting one character down or anything. They just want to deal your exact health total and damage in the first three or four rounds, and that's all they're going to do.
I think with the Cad Sienna player struggling against that matchup, it really goes to show the tools that the aggro hero decks have and how well utilized they are in this meta. So with, I'm sure if the Cad Sienna player had access to hyperspace jump or stuff like easy pickings, like that would have been a matchup that would have been even more in his favor as well.
I think the Cad Sienna player is advantage in that matchup. Cad does some crazy stuff. And I think it just comes down to how quick you can get someone off the board. If you can get Rose off the board before they get a good start with their Hawks, he's going to really, really hurt their ramp. But if Rose gets to do a thing, gets a few specials out, and they get set up, it gets a lot harder. And then you start to rely on those big CAD turns, you know, where you just play that ambush roll out and then just smash through with some damage.
That Poe Hondo is no joke. I played a Poe Hondo today with Obi Mars, and that deck is stacked with mitigation. Like, I'm pretty sure half of it is mitigation as well. So it's such a... The Hondo X decks are so versatile in all the matchups with their ability to mitigate and push out damage as well. In the game I played today, I didn't do damage for four rounds just because he was just able to get rid of everything on my board. So it's no surprise that Poe Hondo is still winning games. Do we know who he was playing against? Was it a Kylo Towson?
In the finals?
Yeah, in the finals.
It was Poe Hondo versus one of the vehicle decks.
It was versus the vehicle deck. Okay, right. I'd be interested to see what the matchup was like, and like is that a favorable matchup for Poe Hondo, or would that be in favor of the vehicles deck?
Yeah, I would imagine that it's in favor of the vehicles because they can just make enough money to pay off. I mean, if they get out their rally aids and their tech teams and they're saving resources, they're playing their vehicles, and they can afford to pay off Hondo when it's necessary, but I mean, who knows how the game really panned out.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought with the, because that those vehicle decks can make a ridiculous amount of money, and that's why I'm a little bit surprised. Like it obviously, like we, as you said, Jacob, we don't know what happened in that game, but it'd be very interesting to watch that game and see how it actually panned out, and if there are any sort of turning points as to when it went in the Hondo Poe player's favour.
To be honest, it's probably going to be in how the vehicle player decided to pay Hondo or not. It's such a double-edged sword, and people talk about playing around Hondo and just giving up enough money to survive, but if you build your Hondo deck right, it just fuels him, and they slap down their second chance, and then all of a sudden you've got extra life to get through. And it's just like a no-win situation at that point.
Okay, well, let's move on to the New Zealand Nationals. So the Nationals event is a little bit delayed. I've been speaking to a player in New Zealand over the Discord, and he said they're not actually having regionals this season, and they're only just having their Nationals now. And the Nationals were held at the Auckland University, and looks like we had a top four of Sabine Ezra, Hondo again with Yoda. It looks like that was Ayla Vehicles and then Poe Ayla as well, with Sabine Ezra taking it out. Now, the interesting thing about Sabine Ezra taking this out was that Sabine Ezra also took out the store champs in Auckland a few months ago, where they were playing in a funny meta where they didn't actually have the new two-player sets legal.
But they had Empire.
But they had Empire, yeah.
And really late. Like, we played Nationals the same weekend or the weekend before they played their store champs.
It was, you're right, yeah.
And then now they're playing the their Nationals while we're all going through regionals.
Yeah, yeah.
But those guys must hate Sabine now, unless it's the one guy that won twice.
I don't know if it is the same guy. I'd have to get in touch with him and see if it is the same guy. But if he's just been thrashing Sabine Ezra for the last 3 months, I wouldn't be surprised by it. But Jacob, what do you think about the New Zealand meta compared to the Australian meta at the moment, based on those results?
I mean, it's a little bit hard because of how far behind they have been in some previous meta like scenarios. I'm assuming that everything was legal for this, so for Sabine Ezra to come out on top, not surprised. I mean, it's a very strong deck. It'd be interesting to know what matchups they went through and if there were many kind of vehicles or many Hondos going through.
Yeah, I think information is very scarce at the moment. I mean, the Nationals would have only finished maybe 3 or 4 hours ago, so the information is scarce on the matchups. But I think there were only like under 20 players in their Nationals as well.
Okay, well, I'm gonna make like an educated guess that either one of the finalists, because it was a mirror match, if I understand correctly, that.
I think it was E Hondo Yoda. It was up against.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, it's probably the person that won the store champs. I mean, it just comes down to how much practice you put in, and if this person can perform at a higher level already, I wouldn't be surprised if they went and took this one out.
I agree. And Blake, there's your Epo E Ayla deck list as well.
Look, I still love that deck. I abandoned it for our regionals, but it's still quietly just making these top eights and these top fours. There was 19 players at the New Zealand Nationals.
19, okay.
It's really small. And I can imagine they've got a kind of meta where there's, you know, 3 to 4 players that just grind out the game, and then another 3 to 4 players at probably their only other store, you know, that are just hardcore grinders, and then everyone else just casually playing the game and enjoying it. I know there's a gentleman that... he frequents TTS by the name of Enigma, who is very, very good at the game. So I wonder if he was here and how he did. And then the rest of them, you know, they're so small. It's really good to see that their meta's actually evolved just as quick as everyone else's.
Yeah, I actually almost flew across to Auckland. I thought I'd try and fit in a home visit to go compete in the Nationals, especially knowing that there was only 19 players. But unfortunately, I'm already going away this week, so I couldn't do that.
No flights though, right? It was they get the trophy, they get the I guess everything else, but not the flights.
Yeah, so I was speaking to Squant on the Discord, and he said that basically they didn't front up for the tickets and hotel package. So unfortunately, the winner there, if he wants to compete at Worlds, he has to pony up the flights and the hotels himself.
Anyway, kudos to whoever that was. I don't think we have a name, right? But congratulations.
I've got Andrew Hort.
All right, well, congratulations.
So congrats on being the New Zealand Nationals winner. All right, let's move on. We're going to talk to Des a little bit about the Western Australian regionals. So Des, we've got a few questions for you about the regionals there. So we might kick it off with why did you pick the Hondo Yoda, and what preparation did you go through to get it up to the standard to play at a regionals?
It was on my early test list. I seen the deck list that came top four in, I believe, San Diego. No, it was Portland, that Agent of Zion played. And that was the regional where they didn't have the starters legal and have the starters legal. And I just thought, you know, it was a pretty good do. I like flexible decks that have multiple win cons, so this one can win through damage or mill. And I like being really disruptive as well, and forcing my opponents to make stressful decisions, like, throughout the game that, you know, I don't have to make those. What that ended up like being was a deck that I could take and I could just refine to my own playstyle and add in a few of my pet cards that, you know, that I know my way around really well. And then after that, you know, all of it is in the testing and, you know, the repetitions, as you guys keep saying.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, the next question we've got for you is, why don't you tell us about some of the matchups that you had at the regionals and some of the key plays that helped you get through to the top cut?
So the matchups, I had a fairly diverse set. I don't think I played the same deck twice in a day. My round one matchup was Five Die Villain, and the key card there for me was actually Force Wave, which I put in reasonably late. Those were put in there specifically for the three character lists, the mills, the vehicle decks, and the Five Die Villains, all of which we expected to see at least, you know, one to two of each of them, so that made up a fair portion of our field. And yeah, that one just sort of got me through. Once the Force Wave came out, the team just evaporated. The second round was my only loss. That was the Poe Ayla that Blake loved so much. That one is very much a skill matchup, and I made a critical error where I didn't copy an Ayla special to blank one of his lightsabers that could have let me survive with Hondo an extra round, and that lost it for me. The other big match in the Swiss that people would probably want to know about was my one against Blake. He was playing Bro TK, and it was over pretty fast. There was a stream for it, and I don't think it was anything Blake could have done. Like,
nah, there's no stream. Don't go looking for it.
Isn't there? My mistake. Yeah, so it was just a disrupt game for me. So I got down the my upgrades, my cunning, and took off his ancient saber with vandalize, and then just stole his money until the end of the game, and I killed him.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so I guess that's an important thing. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the podcast against Bro2K, but disrupting Bro2K's resources and their hand is quite an essential strategy to winning that matchup, isn't it? And with Hondo's two disrupt side and the discard on cunning as well, is that makes the matchup quite heavily in your favor as well if you play it correctly.
I still think there's a bit of risk involved with that matchup. If they get a good opening hand and you can't take an upgrade off them, they will potentially kill one of your characters, and that's makes the deck struggle a little bit.
Okay, well, as I said before, we'll talk about that later, and we'll get your thoughts on that a little bit more. So if we move on to the top cut, Looks like we had a top cut of Yoda Hondo, Zeb Ray, Ayla Vehicles, Yoda Hondo again, Hero Mill, Qui-Gon Ayla, another Hero Vehicles, and Bro TK. So it looks like, coming back to what we talked about before, you have actually faced up against the Ayla Vehicles deck. Tell us about that matchup.
So that was my top eight match. It's against a player named Paul Reeve, who's started in the Empire at War, I believe, but he's quickly become one of the better players in Perth. Blake and I have a list of players, our little black book, what we think they're going to play and, you know, how much we have to fear them, and he's right at the top of that. So the vehicles matchup itself, it felt pretty terrible to begin with. I actually played a version of Yoda Hondo on our casual Wednesday the week before, and I lost to an Ayla Vehicles. That was what informed my decision to put in the second lone operative and the second force waves. That really came good for me in that matchup. So it's all came down to making sure you keep the rally aids off the table with a Vandalize. Hard mulligan for Vandalize. And then get your force wave down. And again, it's a three character list. It's like you get a thermal detonator every round.
Yeah, that force wave in the right deck is going to be pretty... I think that's going to be one of those underrated cards that if we move into a three-wide meta, it is the new thermal detonator, which you can just... That's the thermal detonator that keeps on giving.
Definitely is. Even with Yoda versus a two-character list, you can do things like special chain it and grab a shield off the Yoda special to soak up that one damage, and so you're still doing 5-0 damage to yourself.
Yep, I think when I watched the finals, I actually... Did I see you do that? That you actually... Or maybe it was another game that I was watching, but I saw someone else do that. They special chained it into the shield, did the one damage to themselves at the end of the chain, and it just mitigated the damage itself. So, you know, obviously as a smart player, that is a line of play that you're going to keep in the back of your mind if you're ever put in that situation.
Yeah, you definitely need it. Or you just put it on the non-priority target if you need to take the money to pay for that special, because it is a paid special.
Right, so moving on to the rest of your top eight matches, how did your top four go?
So that was Zeb Ray. Pretty scary deck, because it does a lot of the stuff that Sabine Ezra will do with the running interference. I did 2-0 that one. It was mainly down to me keeping them off their money so they didn't get the amount of upgrades they need to close out the game. And once the Ray's off the table, I can start employing the Entangle and the Easy Pickings just to take the lion's share of their damage away. Of course, running interference interferes with that, but then that's where the shields come in.
Yeah, okay. All right. So what was what sort of issues did you run into? Was it just the running interference or...?
Pretty much the running interference. I did get fair traded as well, which was pretty irritating. It was a round two, play an ambush weapon. I think it was an override of a vibro knife onto Ray, roll in Ray, and then hit a resource and then took my money. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it was actually using Ray 1, so his whole thing was playing any weapon with an ambush, and everything he did was preceded with a weapon with an ambush. So it was really made it really hard to respond while Ray was still alive, so I had to target her pretty severely. And yeah, the fair trade made it so she lasted an extra round because, you know, all of a sudden he had money. I just earned my own money back.
The benefit of Ray, like Zeb Ray, is getting that ambush running interference package, which is just really, really good right now. Not only do you get to cheat with Ray completely, so they don't really get to mitigate, you generally get yourself a free reroll and they still can't mitigate. So you can kind of cheat, running interference, roll them both out, get a reroll. They can't play a card. Then you get to resolve your dice. And I've seen that player just, you know, once he did the thing of just load up both of his characters, cheat, roll out, 8-9 damage. And again, I think that just comes into running interference being really, really strong right now.
What was he running jump as well?
He did have a single jump.
And I believe he was also running quick escape.
Yes, he was.
He must be a long-time podcast listener.
Long-time listener. All right, so let's move on to your to the final match, and you were playing Qui-Gon Ayla. Now, I saw this, and I remember texting Blake and going, ooh, Qui-Gon Ayla looks spicy. And after watching that first game on the stream, I was like, yes, that's definitely spicy. Do you want to just walk us through, because that obviously went to three matches that game. Do you want to walk us through that one?
Yeah, so a big part of that one was losing the first game horribly. I had pretty much no upgrades that I could reliably play, and I lost my Hondo reasonably early. There was a lot of probably not the best sequencing going on, because at this stage is sort of at 9 hours played and you're getting pretty tired. If you watch that stream, Blake's got a pretty good commentary of, you know, every time I make a mistake, he's pretty sure to point it out. I think it's
it wasn't that many, to be honest.
It was three, and I remember them all.
It's because your wife was sitting across from me, shaking her head at every misplay that you could do, and I was like, oh. Almost wanted to justify it for you.
Yeah. But after that, I felt pretty comfortable with that matchup. Like, Qui-Gon is going to be my primary target. You keep the shields off him, and he's not going to be nearly as toothy. And again, they're reasonably like a slave to their resources. I mean, he did have it binds all things out turn one every game, but even then, you know, pinching the money and at least forcing him to have to resolve resources instead of damage is almost like mitigation for me, which then I make those resources back off him, play down my defensive things like Force Illusion and Second Chance, and the games will get away from him. And that's what happened in games two and three.
Yeah, the player did get very unlucky. I'm not too sure if he just had bad draw as well, but I think he got very unlucky, and basically the game just didn't go his way. And I know in that second game you built up your board state so quickly that there was no coming back from that. I think he actually scooped, didn't he, to go into game three, and.
No, I killed him.
You killed him, did you?
Yeah.
Maybe I thought to myself he should have scooped because there was no coming back from it.
We got to the stage where, I mean, he stayed into every game till the end. And I think I had just Ayla versus double cunning Hondo and then Yoda with a light bow. And so I was just, okay, you don't get to have any shields, and also all your life is gone.
Yeah, I think you were also... I think at one stage you actually cunninged an Obi lightsaber against... his own lightsaber against him as well. From memory as well, which... Does that still give him the shield?
It does.
Yeah, because the lightsaber's still attached to him, but it was still three unblockable. Yeah. So it's... Yeah, there's a lot of... With that cunning, it allows for a lot of smart lines of plays that you can utilize, especially because a lot of people don't remember that you can actually utilize your opponent's specials as well.
Yeah, you keep it in mind all the time with this deck. My round three opponent was an Obi Maz, and I dealt him 9 unblockable from my own Obi Saber and then 2 cunnings.
Yeah, that sounds nasty. All right, we better keep moving on because we're running out of time. So let's just talk about some of the cards in your deck. Which cards do you think were the most valuable cards in your deck throughout the tournament?
So there was a lot that had their place in specific matchups, like Force Wave and Lone Operative. I mean, they didn't get played every game, and quite often I was happy to reroll with them. But the cards that were worth their weight in every game, obviously Easy Pickings and Entangle. Late game, when it's one character versus one character, or one versus two, I just spend all my money removing their character dice or their threatening dice and then just doing whatever I need to do. Outside of that, it was Impulsive and Rebel were the two best for me. Like, pretty much always live.
I think the talk of Discord after your win was your use of Rebel. And that was quite a nice piece of tech, because it effectively gave you 4 second chances.
Yeah, or extra removal when I needed it. And sometimes the game's not going my way, I'm pulling back a lone operative or something like that. Or if somebody vandalizes an important upgrade, I can pull it back. And even a couple of times I rebel out an impulsive and use it on a force speed, get 3 actions. It's like a one cost 3 steps ahead.
So we really see the preparation that you've put into your deck, how well you know your deck, and which lines of play you know you need to take in different situations that you're in. And I guess this is one thing we emphasize, and Blake emphasized earlier, is that reps and knowledge of your deck wins you games.
It definitely does. And this one especially, one of the reasons why I chose it as well was because in Awakenings, I was a Poe Ray player, and it has a lot of the same feel with taking special chains and action chains, like, you know, 2, 3, 4 actions down the chain and getting the result you need. And it takes you have to do it a lot. Like, basically, you play and you play and you play until the point where you've seen everything.
I want to add a comment that the second reason Des played the deck was he was about to not play the deck, and then his trusty teammate, me, told him that he'd be mad not to play the deck. So, just on record, that makes us square for making me play Palo FN and that. But, genuinely well done, man.
He did talk me back into it. I was at the 11th hour considering changing to Bro TK after my loss versus Vehicles on that Wednesday, because I didn't see a way around it, and then we talked it out, and then I'm like, oh no, I actually do like this deck, so I will play it, and I'll make some tweaks and call it good.
Well, Des, thanks for all your comments, and congratulations on your win. Do you think you'll be making it across to America for Worlds, or that's...
I think Worlds is very unlikely on account of having to pay for the plane ticket, and it's so soon. And it's a long way. Nationals, I'm definitely planning to come down. I've got my fancy buy to trade in.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, well, let's move on to our next segment. We're just going to talk about a couple of the popular decks that are coming up at the moment. Obviously, BroTK has made an impact since Honestly Sarcastic won the New Jersey Regionals with it. Blake, what do you think are some good strategies against BroTK?
I think you need to... I mean, I don't want to share all of this because I really like the deck. However, stuff we know, like you have to kill Sister. Some people prefer to target... Sienna or Night Sister to try and prevent the untaps, but the game is simply over once you kill Sister. Vandalize is pretty good. As a BroTK player, we can definitely play around it, but sometimes you can be forced into a tough spot where you just have to kind of jam out an upgrade, and Vandalize is pretty good considering you're very limited on upgrades. Anything disrupt and discard, they're generally taking the whole turn, and they'll play an upgrade out, get some resources, play another upgrade, or play a leadership, or if you can disrupt early in and mid-turn, you're doing really good. And then if you can get to like mid-turn and just discard the last 2 or 3 cards or whatever, which they're probably holding a boundless or a leadership or something, just doing that. It's stuff that we all know, but BroTK is still winning. And I think the thing is, people play too scared of it. They give it too much respect. Play too scared, wait for the combo. Just kill him. Just kill Sister and the game's over.
Let me just clarify something real quick, Blake, because you were saying kill Sister. There's now 2 Sisters in that deck. I'm assuming you're talking about the 7th Sister, but it just made me kind of wonder if there is any benefit to killing off that Night Sister, because isn't that pretty much what enables the turn 1 kill, is how many rerolls you can get on the Maul Saber, from what I've seen of games online.
Definitely. I think I wouldn't put stock into killing Night Sister. generally you'll get to a point, and, you know, and as long as you're careful and you're watching, they're going to ping themselves a couple of times, and you can probably just kill her with one dice and cut off that price of failure. The fact is, without Seven Sister, the deck can't win, right? It's, you know, one dice Night Sister that's probably pinged herself four times, and one dice Sienna, even if you get an upgrade out, it's not doing anything. So you've got to kill Sevens as quick as possible.
Yeah. I think we kind of skipped over it, but you played Rogue TK in the Western Australia regionals, obviously. I just want to hear quickly what, or like how you felt the deck went.
So I was working on that deck for the kind of few days before regionals, where I was like, all right, I think I should play it. I mean, I made top four. I lost in the top four to the Qui-Gon Aayla player. So we cut to a top eight, and then, yeah, in the top four, I lost. I had a pretty rough day, but it was just all prep. I would put an hour in here or an hour in there. I was had a really busy 2 to 3 weeks leading up to regionals. 2 to 3 weeks leading up to regionals. But the deck itself, but, you know, congratulating for Dez, I was happy for him. And then looking up back, I think that's the deck that I'm still happy to play going forward. However, you need to really balance your, or you really need to know each matchup individually. You know, against certain matchups, I want to go for that turn one kill. I want to just get someone big off the board, like you're just flat out racing. Against other matchups, you can't do that. You need to take your time. You need to really set up. You know, you need to know when you have to play around Vandalize, when you have to play around this or that. And that is a deck that I think if I had 50 games under my belt, I would feel half confident, you know, just all about reps.
Yeah, I think that matchup, as we mentioned before, Dez obviously has a lot of experience against it, playing a lot of games against you, Blake, but disruption, hand removal as well really hurts, especially if you can get rid of those key cards like Price of Failure, Leadership. I think I agree with Jacob as well. If you can one-shot the Night Sister, it removes a lot of consistency from the deck. And also, if you can vandalize the Maul Saber and stop them from rising again as well. Dez?
Yeah, if you can vandalize any upgrade, it's going to at least prevent the turn one kill. They'll have to spend their, like, rolls in with their other characters to make the money back to be able to play down the next upgrade. And if you can one-shot the Night Sister, you're not too far off one-shotting Sienna, which cuts off more of the deck, and in that case, you're not too far off one-shotting the Seventh Sister. It all depends where they put their Force Illusions.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I can see, yeah, if you cut off the Sienna, you cut off basically two cards from their deck. So I can see the advantages of that, and then, yeah, you're only 1 point off taking out a Knight's Seventh Sister, but there's not a lot of decks that can just burst down 10 damage in round one, apart from probably another Bro TK deck. So the mirror.
So if you're doing that, now I'm happy for us to continue and say, you know what, kill everyone else. But if you're doing that, you put 7 damage onto Night Sister, you put 9 damage onto Sienna, and then now you're going into turn 3 and Seven Sister's got a Maul Saber, an Ancient Saber, or whatever else. You could have just killed her, and then the game's over.
I think what you'd do though, Blake, is you'd take out one of the supports and then lay all the rest of the damage into Seventh Sister. You're crippling her by taking out one of the supports. You're taking out some of her consistency, which is either in the Night Sister. It seems like the deck has just accelerated since Night Sister was added to it. So by taking out the Night Sister, you're taking out some of the consistency of the deck, especially if you're running an aggro deck that can easily burst down 7 damage round one.
Yeah, look, I hear what you're saying. I actually disagree. I don't know if this is our first live disagreement, but I think I don't think it's right. However, for anyone listening, moving forward, if you want to go after Night Sister, all the Pro TK players will be happy. The deck was really good before. Like, it wasn't bad when it was the yellow version with Guardian. it was really good before. The thing is, what, and this is something that I found was happening with me, if they're just smashing down Seven Sister, then I have to start doing other stuff. I have to spend my resources and I have to build my resources to try and rise again. I have to spend my money on Force Illusions. I have to cash in my Ancient Sabers. And the damage is gone. Like, your damage is so much less. But if you're just bashing through the characters, you get 5 damage onto anyone, then you get a free Chrysa Failure. And then I get to spend all my money on upgrading Seven Sister. And then I get to that turn 3 and Seven Sister's under no threat. You're in big trouble. That's my thoughts on, like, from playing the deck. As soon as anyone starts smashing Seven Sister, it actually gets a little bit harder.
We actually had a kit tournament where Blake played the original yellow OTK, and I beat him then. I actually did pretty poorly for the rest of it and ruined his strength of schedule, as is my style. But I was playing Boba Phasma, and that one, the target choice came down when he best defensed onto Sienna, and all of a sudden I only had to deal 6. So I went straight for a cut off the second best defense and also the leaderships.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think it's worth me saying that I have zero experience versus BroTK. I don't think I've actually played a game against it. So take what I say with a grain of salt.
just to end on BroTK, the only thing I can say is, again, know your deck. Know what your deck can and can't do. And if you feel like you need to get off the support characters first, do that. And that's just the whole story of this, you know, this whole meta right now is you got to know your deck and each individual matchup, know your strengths and weaknesses, and then play for them.
All right, let's move on to Sabine Ezra. Let's just spend 60 seconds on Sabine Ezra. Obviously, Sabine does Sabine things, but what is just some quick strategies to play against Sabine Ezra? Kill Sabine.
Straight up.
Jacob, what do you think?
Yeah, you just have to kill Sabine hard. I mean, if you can vandalize the running interference, and that helps a lot. If you make it to round 3 and you haven't killed Sabine yet, then I would be very worried, because that's coming into Never Tell Me the Odds, one-shot at character territory and jumping away. And I would say the game's pretty much lost. That's when I would change my whole strategy into trying to play as aggressively as I can and using my somewhat defensive cards to aggressively reroll and just try and land as much damage as possible.
One card we might see a bit of play versus Sabine Ezra or some of these other aggro decks that use these high cost events is scruffy looking Nerf Herder. So that's a one cost where you get to call event support or upgrade, look at your opponent's hand, and then discard a card. So it's basically a bit of filp, friends in low places. We might start seeing a bit of play with that so we can get rid of stuff like Never Tell Me the Odds, these Maul Sabers, etc. like that, as a counter to these very fast aggro decks.
Yeah, that card is such a powerful card. I think it gets more powerful when you kind of know what to expect from the meta. So if you've got some very important cards like Never Tell Me the Odds or Maul Saber in decks like BroTK or Sabine Ezra, then that's when you can start putting in tech cards like this, which doesn't necessarily mean that you play them against those decks. They're valuable against any other deck, but it comes down to knowledge of what you're up against and what their key cards are. If you can strip them from it, then you stand such a good chance.
All right, we'll just keep this moving along. One deck that has been making a surprising appearance in a few of the regionals in the last couple of weeks is the Boba Seventh Sister deck. It's won one regional, and that was the North Dakota regional today, and that ended up winning in a Boba Seventh Sister mirror match. What are our thoughts on that deck and how to defeat it? Because that deck is primarily running Maul Saber, and the main strategy would be to roll those Boba specials and just hit your opponent for 4 off that Maul Saber. Anyone?
It's getting a few numbers. A few people are playing it. You know, its debut, it had like a whole meta of people rock up, travel to a regionals and rock up and play the same deck. It's doing some pretty cool stuff with Mauls. I mean, whatever, it's just like a Maul Saber deck. Let's just be honest. It's just a good Maul Saber deck. It's got 2 characters. It doesn't seem too difficult to pilot in terms of you don't have these really deep decision trees and sequencing. You know, you're just a good, solid two-character deck that plays great removal and Maul Saber. How do you beat it? Or maybe just kill Seven Sister, then they can't play Maul Saber.
Dez, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure that the removal is so great. I feel like in the current meta, the reason why we see these hero decks win, like, you know, 80% of regionals is because their removal is all two dice minimum for one card. And, you know, it might cost a little bit more in the case of Entangle, or it might only cost one for easy pickings. But if you can remove two dice and then, you know, leave them to what's left, like maybe they've got an Ancient Saber, or maybe they're rolling back in their Maul Saber, but, you know, you're in a lot better position than you were beforehand than if you, say, played He Doesn't Like You, which used to be a really good, solid meta card where you give up one of your own dice and remove one of theirs. It's just not worth it anymore.
Yeah, sorry, I should have touched. I mean, they have quite a lot of removal. Considering it's an aggressive-based deck, they have quite a lot of removal. And I guess that's because you've got, like, 8 upgrades in the deck. And then you don't need... You're not looking for any other pieces. Like, when you play something like BroTK, you've got minimum upgrades, but you have to play all these other pieces to make the deck work. Same as, you know, vehicles, same as your deck does, you had all your little tricks, where this deck, apart from bait and switch, you might as well just load out the rest of the deck with removal. Whether it's good or not, you're going to get most turns where you're drawing a couple of pieces.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's... I'm pretty sure we'll see some more Boba 7th. Is it just a fad deck? Maybe people... Is Phasma Boba just better? I guess we'll see how it shakes out over the next few weeks. Boba Phasma hasn't really seen a lot of showings in the top 8. I think it's been scattered here and there. Maybe the Boba 7s is just a better deck.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that it has Maul Saber in it, to be honest. That's such a good card. If you can come up with the ways to abuse it, and that includes using Boba's special to hit for 4 or 3 pretty consistently. And then coupled with the fact that blue, yellow, villain just has pretty decent removal. It's got cheap removal. You can then use your money on cards like Lightsaber Throw or Backup Muscle for extra damage. And it just really lets you put out a lot of potential damage early, which if you can kill a character round one, I mean, that's what used to happen back in the days of, you know, Kylo 2 and then Phasma before she was nerfed with Anakin. That's pretty much old school, hardcore aggro as much as you can. Just do as much damage as you can early.
How do we beat it? Like, that's what we were trying to give to our listeners. Because we've done Sabine, we've done, I guess, BroTK. What's our strategy for beating Boba 7s?
I think someone said kill 7s.
That was me, okay.
Yeah.
Just kill them, kill, whatever.
Just kill 7s. I think probably keeping them off resources would help, not allowing them to play the Maul Saber to begin with. And I guess the other strategy, if you're playing a deck that has big sides like Obi or like anything with 3 sides, you want to be able to action cheat those out so they're not sitting on the board when Boba's got specials out, because you're then going to have to play defensively and play around those Boba specials as well. Dez, what do you think?
Yeah, I've played a few test games for mine, because I know there's at least one player who plays Boba 7s in our meta, and it's very disrupt like weak. So if you hit your disrupt, you just stop them from playing out those upgrades, and then by the same token, the Vandalize also does the same thing. It's not a particularly fast deck, at least from an action cheat point of view. It's not got any tricks where it's going to roll out and get you, barring maybe a 4 speed. So you can see that coming. So you always got, like, at face value, what you can predict is going to happen. Like, you can play around worst case scenario.
Okay, well, thanks for your comments, guys. We've actually run out of time now. So just quickly, for our Maul's lightsaber competition, thanks to everyone who has subscribed, who has liked our Facebook page, who has commented on our YouTube videos, who's commented on our Facebook page. We do have a winner for our Maul's lightsaber. And that is a YouTube subscriber that goes by Sergeant Scales. Sergeant Scales, if you want to message us on Facebook or through YouTube, we'll get that Maul's lightsaber out to you as soon as possible. So congratulations, Sergeant Scales, on winning that. I'm sure with the meta at the moment, you'll put that to great use. Any final comments, guys? Any shout-outs to anyone in particular?
Yep, I have a shout-out to iRebel podcast, Facebook page, website. You know, when we're planning to do this podcast, I just go straight to iRebel because the amount of work that she's putting in right now to make sure that we can look at any given time, see what regionals are happening, who's winning, what's winning, it's so much effort. And it doesn't go unnoticed.
Yeah, I agree. Jedi Geek Girl, she does a lot of work for the community. All the effort that she puts into growing her own personal community as well. The iRebel podcast, she always has a different guest on every week. So make sure you go check out her podcast. She has some great alt arts as well. I believe I managed to sucker her into sending me an Obi Mars alt art 8-bit promos. So watch out for those hitting the tables at a local store soon. but yeah, no, she does a lot of great work. I believe she also top 8 at North Dakota regionals today as well. So congratulations on her top 8 finish.
Yeah.
Dez, have you got anyone?
Yeah, I'd like to say well done and thank you to the Perth Jawas YouTube channel. They're the ones that did the stream for us, and they also have started converting all those streams into YouTube videos for people to look at their leisure. So I'd suggest go looking them up.
Yeah, they did a great job covering the Perth regionals. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch a lot of it, but I did watch the finals, and yeah, it was a great job. Great to see people so passionate about the game that they're willing to sacrifice their own time and not competing to bring coverage to other people. So that's really awesome. Thanks to the Perth Jawas for doing that. Jacob?
No, nothing really new this week. I just want to point out the fact that Dez has an article on the Artificery. So you should go and check that out because I had a read and it was very informative. It was a good tournament breakdown. And I believe, are you going to be doing some regular articles there? Or?
Yeah, I've been told I can submit things semi-regularly, so keep a lookout for them.
Just make sure they mention how many times you've beaten the Australian national champion.
There is no number.
Just right, to guys. Put this clear, it's not that much.
We knew he was going to crack at some stage. It didn't take that long.
One podcast.
You're not coming back, Dex. Thanks for coming, Dex. No, love you, Dez. Congrats, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Congrats.
No worries. Thanks for your time, Dez. Thanks, Blake and Jacob. We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. We'll be back for episode 3 towards the end of March. And thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel where the three of us will be uploading some more gameplay videos with meta decks as well. And just playing through. We hope you find them really informative and fun to watch as well. So thanks for your time, guys. We'll catch you in the next podcast.